Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. The big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you tonight until 9:30 as we get ready for Atlanta United. Back in action, all official-like and everything. As the CONCACAF gets started up, they will be in down south of the border playing at the FC Motagua tonight. That will be 9:30 pregame with Jason Longshore and Mike Conney, and they'll have the call for you coming up at 10 o'clock. Don't forget, we stream online at 929thegame.com. Catch us live, replays of the shows there. Download your radio.com app, the cool new feature about listening back in real time. It's all there available for you on the radio.com app. Social media for the station is all at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. The best way to keep up with this particular show is through my personal Twitter handle. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Dylan is behind the glass producing tonight as the cavalcade of makes the way around. Jarvis did have the baby daughter the other day, so all good on the home front there. So congrats to him. We do have a busy show, a lot to get into, a lot of things to cover here on a Tuesday night. We will talk to one of the EVPs for All Elite Wrestling as tomorrow night AEW Dynamite invades State Farm Arena. It will be AEW's first trip to Atlanta. They will be here in town tomorrow night. Cody Rhodes, son of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, baby. He will join us tonight. And actually, it's a two-part interview. It kind of bleeds over. I kind of went a little bit longer with him. So lots of good stuff, lots of interesting stuff we will hear from him as AEW Dynamite comes up tomorrow night. Couple of quick things I want to get into here. I do want to mention about, you heard Joe in his update, what a crazy end to the Daytona 500. Of course, you know, Sunday they only got 20 laps in, and then Monday, where it was supposed to be beautiful skies and all that, I mean, you know, finally the weather broke. But just accidents and starts and stops and lots of craziness going on. And, of course, just a horrible accident for Ryan Newman on the last lap of the race and was in serious condition. Case was not reported as being life-threatening, but the latest update is that he remains under the care of doctors at Halifax Medical Center in Daytona Beach, Florida. He is awake and speaking with family and doctors. Ryan and his family have expressed their appreciation for the concern and heartfelt messages from across the country. They're grateful for the unwavering support the NASCAR community and beyond. We'll continue to provide information as it becomes available. That's from Roush Fenway Racing. What a crazy last lap that whole thing was. And just a horrible-looking accident that involved Ryan Newman, where there was very little of the car left and just so much going on with that particular accident. So, you know, it's a miracle from God that he's okay and looks like he's going to be on the road to recovery. And, you know, it says he is awake and talking and things like that. So that's great news to hear out of there. Of course, as we said, 9:30 tonight, it's officially back, Atlanta United, as they start CONCACAF play. Of course, This will be FC Motagua tonight, and then coming up Tuesday, the 25th, they will be here to take on FC Motagua again. That will be a 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock kickoff on that action. So back in the fold, Atlanta United, as they make their run, starting with their first run at a potential championship here in the CONCACAF, and then, of course, getting into MLS season. So it's officially back tonight, a lot of expectation. Going to be a very strange night because injuries and visas and all this kind of crazy stuff is really having kind of a net effect on Atlanta United. I think Joe said that there are six players that are affected by all of this. And the visa situation is kind of frustrating. Seems like there's just a lot of, I don't know, just a lot of red tape or something that's going on with all of that. So Atlanta United definitely going to be shorthanded, trying to get some guys in at the last second to be able to play down there. So we will see what that has in store for them. Going to be a tough outing tonight. And, of course, you know, a lot of new faces on Atlanta United, so a lot of adjustment that's going to take place. And, of course, you know, they lost that shootout in their final friendly before getting ready for FC Motagua. So 9:30, Jason Longshore and Mike Connie will be on the call for all of that. So good to see them back. It's good to get back into the flow of things. So this Tuesday, next Tuesday, start to get into some league action. Of course, Hawks will not be back until Thursday. So they come back to take on the Miami Heat. We'll be here with you tonight and tomorrow, and then we'll give way to Hawks basketball on Thursday, then back with you on Friday as well. So Hawks coming in you know, to this last basically third of the season. I think it's 26 games that are left for the regular season out there. We'll see what the Hawks can do. Clint Capella has not practiced still yet, was the latest that I saw. So we will see if he is ready to go, and he is going to be part of their action when they come up on Thursday. Now, we'll have a spirited What's Bugging Chuckery tonight because I got to say, boy, there's a lot of guys piping and running their mouth in Major League Baseball. And a lot of threats and a lot of things about what they're going to do to the Astros and what they deserve and this, that, and the other. You know, as they said in Top Gun, you know, I hope your arse isn't, you know, writing checks, you know, or what is it, that your arse can cash those checks that your mouth is writing or whatever? Because a lot of guys are saying a lot of ballsy stuff out there, including, you know, here locally in Atlanta, that when we get to What's Bugging Chuckery, we'll put that out there. But here's all I can tell you. I'll speak for me personally. If I'm a Houston Astros player and you come headhunting for me, I promise you, I'll be out there on the mound with my baseball bat and we'll crack some skulls. And then we'll see who's big balls Willie and who's all tough and all that kind of stuff. And I've said the smartest thing the Astros can do is don't say nothing, go Bill Belichick. We're on to this season. And you already saw some of that, didn't you? I talked about that. They obviously listened because they're smart. They listen to the highest rated nighttime radio show in Atlanta. So obviously the Astros players are smart because they're tuning in and they've already started taking my advice. We're on to this year. We're on to this series. We're on to that. You know, whoever the next series is, if it's the Yankees, we're on to the Yankees. If it's the Indians, we're on to the Indians. If it's the A's, we're on to the Oakland A's. That's how you got to handle it. And I understand it's not going to go away, but you just have to keep shutting it down. But I can tell you, if you come headhunt for me, I'm going to be Negan. And me and Lucille are walking out to the pitcher's mound. And somebody's going to have to answer. And and honestly, you may think it's crazy. You make an example of somebody. Okay? You make an example of one person. Promise you that stuff calms down. Promise you that stuff calms down. And I'm not talking about the commissioner gets involved with his nonsense or whatever like that. Let the players handle that stuff. Seriously, don't give me this nonsense about the commissioner and what he's going to do and not do and all this kind of stuff. Let the players handle it. You know, if you headhunt a guy, okay. If he retaliates, then remember you get what you deserve. That's all. Just let justice sort itself out on the baseball diamond. You know, if everybody's so big and tough and ready to fight and throw down and, you know, this, that, and you know, okay, then do it. Then do it. Let them go after it. You think I'm gonna stand in the box as an Astros player and you're gonna throw at me and I'm not gonna retaliate? And if that means I gotta take a suspension to send a message to you and the rest of baseball, you damn sure Skippy, I'm gonna send a message. You know, like it or not, they've got their fraternity within the Astros organization. And I can tell you, you ain't gonna headhunt me, because you do, I'm coming right after you. And I'm not going to wait for my pitcher to come in and retaliate. I'm not going to wait for him to come in the next inning and decide what he wants to do. No, man, I'll take the matter in my own hands. I'll solve that situation for you. Won't need to have the manager figure it out. Won't need to have anybody else figure it out. So everybody's getting all brave and, you know, talking their talk in the, you know, spring training. Okay. Let's see what you do when the games count. Let's see how big and tough everybody is then. Because usually in baseball fights, except for Nolan Ryan, the greatest fight of all time in sports, when he's just throwing haymakers at Robin Ventura's dome. Okay, let's see what you got, youngster. All right, when we get back, the Braves. They handled Snit situation correctly. What do I mean by that? Well, we'll talk about that next. Chuck in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game.
I wasn't looking for anything, but, you know, Alex called, we talked, and I thought that was awesome what he did. So I'm excited. That's a good feeling.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on the John Chuckery Show. That is Braves manager Brian Snitker bringing us back in. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You want to interact with the show. Taking up till 9:30 tonight. Get you ready for CONCACAF action with Atlanta United officially back in the fold. Pregame will be on 9:30, and then 10 o'clock will be kick with Jason Longshore and Mike Conney on the call for all of that. So yesterday, Braves made some announcements. Two announcements, really. With one is Alex Anthopoulos, who will now be the president of baseball operations and, of course, general manager. His contract has been extended through 2024. He will continue to report directly to Chairman Terry McGuirk. And then Brian Snitker got his extension through the 2021 season, which was a one-year extension on his current contract. So he is set to be here through the end of next season. And I saw some people online, including radio hosts and things like that, talking about the idea of, why didn't they extend Brian Snitker longer with all he's done? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got the answers for that. And I will say that at this point, Brian Snitker should be on a, like, one-year show-me type of contract deal for lots of reasons. Number one, his age. I mean, Brian Snitker's not a spring chicken anymore. You know, I don't know truthfully how much longer Brian Snitker wants to do this. You know, maybe if the Braves won the World Series, I could very much see Brian Snitker deciding to retire, just going off in the sunset. I got a World Series win, and I'm gonna head off into greener pastures. So certainly age plays a factor when you talk about the Brian Snitkers of the world. But more importantly, should be the idea of, you know, what have you done for me lately? You know, if the Braves win 97 games again this year, let's say the Braves even win more games. Let's say the Braves do win 100. You know, the Braves could have very much won 100 games if they wanted to play their starters and all that last year. I mean, they could have had 100 wins if that's something that they were really pushing for. You know, with rest and guys missing starts and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know, managing innings and stuff like, if they really wanted to push for 100 wins, they could have gotten three more wins. That could have very much happened. Okay? So let's say if the Braves do win 100 games this year, but go silently and get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. There's not a reason right now to have management in place for longer than these one-year deals. Because at some point, the expectation, and we talk about this all the time, should be about what are you doing for me in the playoffs? And maybe the reality is, and that this is a hard one to hear when I say this. I know a lot of people that they get angst when I say this. Maybe this is how it should have been for the previous manager, and not the one before Brian Snicker. I'm talking about the one before him. Because winning 100 games and division banners and all that kind of stuff is nice. And that's a stepping stone. But that's not defining any success, you know, of the season. And if this Braves team, even if they just replicate their wins, 97 wins, win the division, but get knocked out, it's a massive failure. And somebody should be held accountable for that. And at some point, you have to ask yourself, okay, you know, what do we have here in our manager? And this goes back even, you know, tie this into the Dan Quinn thing. You know, the conversation about Dan Quinn would be 1,000% different if the Falcons had won the Super Bowl. You know, the idea of letting Dan go, Dan's got to go, this, that, and the other, that would be something that keeping him around because he won the Super Bowl would be a pretty easy conversation. And I can tell you personally, I'd be okay with that. If I have a guy who's won me the ultimate championship, then I'm going to give him a longer leash and I'm going to give him more time than somebody who doesn't. But reality is, he didn't win the Super Bowl. That franchise didn't win the Super Bowl. And when you don't win the ultimate prize and you have pieces in place, something has to be held accountable. And the Braves are in no different of a situation. You know, I keep talking about there's no reason to think anything less than World Series or bust for the Braves. They're at worst, the second best team in the National League. That's a worst-case scenario for the Braves, is going into this year, the worst thing you can say about them is the fact that they're the second best team in the National League. And I think the Dodgers are a pretty clear-cut favorite to be number one. And yes, they lost a guy in Ryu that was tremendous, had a terrific season. But they've added David Price, and they've added one of the top five players in Major League Baseball. They didn't just add a piece to help them out. They added one of the top five players in all of Major League Baseball. You know, kind of the way I wanted the Braves to roll the dice and go for it and get one of those kinds of guys, they went and got themselves one of those guys. So they're going to be the clear-cut favorite to win the National League. And they even looked around and read some of the tea leaves about what Arizona was doing. What's Colorado doing? You know, the Padres wanted to be in the mix for Mookie Betts. Padres supposedly were very hot trying to get in the Mookie Betts race. They, along with the Dodgers, were considered the two favorites to land Mookie Betts. So the Braves surveyed the landscape about what was going on just even within their own division and said, okay, you know, now is our time to win this whole thing. And they re-upped Max Muncy. You know, so they've got their pieces in place. So, you know, the expectation, hopefully, and the talk and things like that should be about, you know, winning the World Series. Now, I'll give some of the Braves players credit because I've heard Dansby and some guys that have talked about the idea of, you know, it's time to capitalize in the playoffs. And Dansby's right. You know, I read a quote from Dansby talking about the idea of, you know, we got to get it done in the playoffs. He's right. Division banners don't mean anything anymore, and it shouldn't. And for so long, unfortunately, in this town, we were sold on that idea of, yeah, but look, we won the division. Yeah, but look, we were a playoff team. You know, forget the fact that we had four first ballot Hall of Famers, the greatest pitching rotation in baseball history. Forget all of that. You know, and maybe here, because Bobby did win one, it got him maybe even a longer rope than what he should have gotten out there. Maybe his, you know, I think personally his rope was given much longer than what it should have been. But once he did what he did, he was a lifer. All right, let's hear from Freddie Freeman. Dylan back there. Here's Freddie Freeman talking about it's time for the players to reward Brian Snicker.
He cares about us as persons more than players. He deserves it. He really does. I fought for him after the 2016 season because I knew how special he was to lead this team. And for him to get rewarded over and over and over again with the non-championship side, and now it's time for us to reward him on that side.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, it's time for this franchise to get back to winning a World Series. And I do like the fact that I'm hearing more players talk about that. Not talking about regular season expectations and things like that. And just one day at a time and things like that. You're hearing Freddie. You're hearing Dansby Swanson talking about we have to get into postseason success. Not just, well, we had a nice, you know, regular season run and, gosh, we ran into a buzzsaw. Well, you know, anything can happen in a short series. You know, all the platitudes and talking points. So I do like the fact that you're hearing some of these players coming out and saying that it's about trying to win the playoffs now. And I think they handled Brian Snicker the right way. When you look at the landscape of the different things like we talked about between his age and lack of postseason success, you know, those things have to be weighed in. And that's not meant to be a knock against Brian Snicker. Now, Brian Snicker wins the World Series, and he comes out and says, I want to manage three more years, and you give him a three-year extension. Okay, I'm with you. I'm with you. But it's time to think about, can this guy win us a title? Because this is what I talk about with the Falcons. What's the point of bringing Dan and Thomas back unless you tell me they can win the Super Bowl next year? What's the point? Not to take the next step forward. Let's get better. Okay, 40 guys could have done that. Because there's a lot of talent on that team. You have to tell me that the reason you keep those guys around, the reason that you don't make a change is you fully believe that they can win a championship. And you hold them that accountability for it. And that's what the Braves have to be too. So I got no problem with only giving Snit that 1 year type of deal because it's prove it to me, Tom. It's prove it, Tom. All right, let me quickly grab Dwight in Atlanta. What's going on, Dwight?
What's up, man?
Hey, man.
Man, I'm in total agreement with what you're saying. It's all a bust. I mean, this city, this town, we deserve better than that. Yeah, we deserve a championship team. And like Ricky Bobby said, you ain't first, you're last. And, you know, just keep coming up and coming close and almost hitting the mark. That's unacceptable. And I know, especially with the teams we got, the talent we got, there's nowhere in the world we shouldn't be getting a championship. But just making the playoffs, that's not good enough, especially with our rivals like the Saints. At least they can put it in our face, you know, we at least got one. We can't even say we got one championship.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the reality, Dwight, is, look, it's you know, and people on both sides of the fence with me. You know, some people get really angry when I talk about it like this. Some people really support the idea of it's okay to talk about championships being the actual goal because these teams are talented enough. Atlanta United is talented enough to win MLS Cup. The Braves are talented enough to win the World Series. The Falcons are talented enough to win the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean they don't have their flaws and their things and stuff like that. Every team does. Every team does. You know, you can make a case. I know DeGrom won the Cy Young last year. Ryu was about as good a pitcher as there was in the National League. I mean, I understand about DeGrom and stuff like that, but Ryu was as good as there was in the National League last year. And they lost that guy. And they didn't replace him. And Dodger fans were not excited about the idea of they weren't in the Garrett Cole sweepstakes. They weren't in the Steven Strasburg sweepstakes. You know, they didn't fix that gap. Well, you know, they at least think they found an arm with David Price, a guy who's got postseason experience and things like that, to go along with, oh, yeah, one of the five best players in all of Major League Baseball. All right, when we get back, does Steve Barkowski have a point? Thought it was interesting what he had to say about Joe Burrow. We'll break down those comments next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Back.
back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with us. Just follow on social media. Stations at 929 The Game. On Twitter, I'm at JMCH316. At JMCH316 on Twitter. Taking it until 9:30 tonight when we'll hand off to coverage of first-round CONCACAF action between Atlanta United and FC Motagua. Jason Longshore and Mike Conney will be on the call for all of that. And coming up at 8:20, we will hear from the EVP, one of the EVPs, for All Elite Wrestling, who will be in town tomorrow night for AEW Dynamite. Cody Rhodes will join us. Prior to Lassiter High School, by the way, if you didn't know, he's went to Lassiter High School and was a two-time state champion, 189 pounds, I think, state champion wrestler. But he was a two-time state champion. Heck of an athlete, though, when he was younger. So still a great athlete out there. So we'll hear from him at 8:20. So I thought this was interesting. Steve Barkowski, of course, we know, still beloved quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. And, of course, you know, he was a number one overall draft pick for the Falcons in the 1975 NFL draft. He came out and made some comments to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram through Drew Davison in an interview with him, talking about how maybe Joe Burrow should do some things to avoid playing for the Cincinnati Bengals, who, of course, have the number one draft pick this year. His quote is, "They're Ohio guys. I might have offended them by telling them that if it's the Bengals, I think I'd pull an Eli Manning on that one. I said, you've got a chance to do that. That's happened." Elway kind of set the tone. Then Manning delved into it after Eli was picked by San Diego. Now, as you remember, of course, Eli Manning basically forced a trade out of San Diego with the New York Giants, and then that was basically Phillip Rivers for Eli Manning, that swap. The Baltimore Colts in 83, Elway told him, "I won't play for you. I'll play baseball. I'll go play for the Yankees." And he was traded to Denver after Baltimore picked him number one overall in 83. Now, here's the interesting thing about the Bengals is that, you know, are they cheap? Yes. You know, the Brown family has been notoriously cheap at times. And, you know, they probably should have fired their head coach long before. But they did make some runs at it with their personnel. They did make some runs at it. You know, they drafted pretty well in those few years with Andy Dalton and, you know, when they had Hushmanzada and Ocho Cinco and some of those guys. You know, they had some pretty good teams that just couldn't get over the playoff hump for whatever reason. You know, maybe it was Andy Dalton. I don't know. Maybe it was something else. But they've had some pretty good teams. It's not like that they've been the dregs of the universe when it comes to winning and success. I think I saw a stat that said, like, in the last 15 years, they've got the sixth most playoff appearances. So it's not like they're complete slugs. Barkowski, adding into it, said, "It's not the best organization. You know, times change, things change. Atlanta wasn't a good organization until Arthur Blank bought the team. It was a terrible organization. They didn't know the right hand from the left hand, to be honest. I know what it's like to go to a bottom feeder team. I hate to see that happen to him, to be honest. They beat me up. I spent more time at the hospital recuperating from injuries my first 3 years than I did throwing touchdowns. It was tough." Now, the question would be, is that if Joe Burrow forces a trade, who's willing to go up and get him? Because here's the thing. John Elway is still considered, and this is according to Mel Kiper's board. Mel Kiper still has to this day the two highest-rated prospects he's ever had were Andrew Luck and John Elway. And Elway, I think, is actually, I think, rates just slightly higher than Andrew Luck. You know, John Elway was looked at as a once-in-a-lifetime type of quarterback. Now, he had very little success at Stanford. In fact, if I remember right, they didn't go to a bowl game when he was at Stanford. They were not a very good team. But from an NFL perspective, he graded out, Mel Kiper still has him to this day, as the highest-rated prospect in the history of his big board. Okay? obviously Eli Manning, given the pedigree of what his brother had done in the NFL, certainly had a lot of people, a lot of buzz because, oh, maybe we got the next guy. Well, he turned out to, you know, like Elway, you know, turned out to be multi-time Super Bowl. I don't know that Joe Burrow is looked at the same as Eli and John Elway. I know he ain't looked at like John Elway. I'm not sure if he's looked at the same as Eli Manning. You know, a lot of people have the question about, is Joe Burrow just a one-hit wonder? You know, I have that question about Joe Burrow. Is he a one-year wonder? Did they put such a great system and everything in place that his coach go hands off? Because the year before, he was good, but a very average quarterback. I mean, he wasn't that guy that threw, what was it, 60 touchdowns or whatever this year. Went close to that kind of guy. New system, you know, obviously, you know, they brought in Joe Brady, you know, who's now the OC for the Carolina Panthers. You know, Ed Orgeron went hands off, and it was a perfect storm. And a very talented team that did a lot of good things. And by the way, had a lot more pieces. It wasn't just Joe Burrow and a gang of misfits. They had NFL wide receivers, NFL running back, that had one of the most productive running backs in all of collegiate football, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You look at a guy who was third in the conference in rushing, top 15 in receptions, led the conference in rushing touchdowns. You know, and obviously LSU still with a lot of really good defensive players to go along with it. So I don't know that people look at Joe Burrow in the same vein of all of that. But who's willing? Because if I'm giving up, if Joe Burrow is my guy and that's what I want, okay, you're going to have to blow me away with an offer, which probably means, you know, multiples of number one picks. You know, it's going to cost you, even if you're talking about a top five or six team, you know, if you're one to go up to number one overall, it's going to cost you Julio Jones-esque type of money. And maybe somebody wants to get to number one, not to draft Joe Burrow. Maybe they want Chase Young. I don't know. But it's going to cost somebody a pretty penny. Now, if you're the Bengals and you feel like he won't sign with you, what do you do? Do you go get a quarterback? You need a quarterback. Do you settle or do you dig your heels in and draft Joe Burrow anyway? Like I said, there have been a lot worse organizations than what the Bengals have been. I understand some of their cheapness and stuff like that. Trust me, I lived up in Ohio and understand it, you know. But they had some success. They couldn't get it done in the playoffs. And again, they probably should have fired their coach long before they did and made a change there. But, you know, there have been a lot worse organizations than what the Cincinnati Bengals have been. You know, and whether Joe Burrow likes it or not, he's going to a bad organization. Because only bad teams, you know, pick right near the top. You know, I don't think the Patriots are going to give up a whole bunch to go up to number one to try to get Joe Burrow. He's still probably going to end up on a bad team. But it was interesting that Barkowski said to pull something like that. I'm not sure that the Bengals today are even nearly as bad as the Falcons in the mid-70s. All right, when we get back, speaking of the NFL, one quarterback that we know very well here locally has decided that he's coming back for 2020. We'll talk about that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back in the Kia Studios. This is John Chuckery Show, taking you until 9:30 tonight. We'll lead you right up till Atlanta United Soccer, CONCACAF action at FC Motagua. Jason Longshore and Mike Conney on the call. So it was announced today that Drew Brees, and I guess he did it through his Instagram, decided that he's going to play in 2020 for the New Orleans Saints. Posting on his Instagram, my feelings about the 2020 season. I look forward to the grind and the journey, for the reward at the end will be worth it. Love you, hashtag WhoDatNation. Let's make another run at it. So, of course, in spectacular fashion, by the way. You know, Drew Brees and the Saints have failed over the last several years. Some really heartbreaking losses over the last couple of years. So, which I enjoy very much. I mean, listen, if we can't win, then you know, we don't want them to win. By the way, somebody's asking if we'll have the auto. Yes, all the Atlanta United will be right here on 910 The Game. So I will wrap up at 9:30, and then Jason Longshore and Mike Connie will be on the call for all of that. So you will hear all of that action right here. Mike Connie. Listen, good for Drew Brees. What's he, like 60 now? I mean, like 65 years old. Why not? Why not go make a bunch of money for the New Orleans Saints? I mean, they'll still be a pretty good team. I mean, they'll certainly be, you know, contenders in the division because people scratch their head about what can the Falcons be, you know? You know, they've got plenty of question marks themselves, but I guess he's got, what, a two-year deal, I think, actually, in total left. It voids on March 18th. So we'll have to figure out what kind of contract he's going to get. I would imagine it's going to be another 1 or 2 year deal where they'll try to kick the money can down the road. All right, when we get back, the ACC coaches followed in the footsteps of the Big Ten, and I don't think there's anything going to stop them now, as the song said. I'll explain all that next. Chuck Reno, Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.